Welcome everyone to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is WebSphere Transformation Extender Command Line Utilities Part 3. Today's presenter is Timothy Rabbit. Tim is a member of the WebSphere Transformation Extender L2 support team and has been supporting the product for over 7 years. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Tim. Tim, you may begin.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone on the call, and thank you for joining. As David said, my name is Tim Rabbit, and I am from the WTX L2 support team. So thank you for joining the call. If we could move on to slide 2, please. So for today's agenda, I'd like to cover the utility commands that are available with WebSphere Transformation Extender. I want to cover briefly why to use them, what they can do for you, how you need to configure your environment to use them, the types of commands that are available, and then we can close out the presentation with some questions and answers if you have them. So on to slide 3. So why would you want to use these utilities instead of the GUIs? Well, for one thing, it can automate processing, compiling, analyzing, and converting of large volumes of maps, trees, and systems via scripts. And it also allows you, in certain instances, where you may not have access to X Windows or GUI-related tools, to maintain the same functionality through the command line that you're accustomed to using in the X Windows or GUI world. So let's move on to slide 4. In general, what can they do for you? As the list here shows, you can analyze trees, you can import and export them, import and export map sources and files, convert type trees, compile maps, generate a map report, you can deploy systems, you can transform a map from XML, you can edit the resource registry, and then what today's conversation is going to focus on is starting, stopping, and administrating the WTX launcher. On to slide 5. In order to use these utilities, you're going to need to do some initial setup, depending on whether you're in the Windows environment or Unix. In Windows, you're going to need to make sure you've set the path to point to the WebSphere Transformation Extender 8.4 installation. And as you can see here, the second bullet underneath Windows shows you an example of how to set the path. One thing to caution is just to make sure when you set the path that you append it with the semicolon %path% to make sure you don't destroy your existing path. And then in the Unix environment, you're going to want to run our setup script, and that's basically running it as then space the path to your WTX installation /setup. What that's going to do for you is going to set the Unix path environment variable as well as LD library path or libpath depending on which Unix operating system you're using. And then at the bottom I show an example of how the path gets exported if you actually wanted to do that by hand. And then on to slide 6. An example of how to set LD library path or libpath. The key here is you need it to point to a lib subdirectory within our structure. And again, so as to not destroy your existing environment variable setting, you always want to append the existing setting. On to slide 7. Okay, continuing with the overall setup, if you do script any of these commands that I've discussed in the past or today, there are status commands or environment variables that get returned from the commands to let you know whether they were successful or not. In Windows, there's an environment variable called error level, and in Unix, it's called status. So if either one of these variables returns a 0, the utility command was successful. If it returns a 1, it was not successful. And you can start from that point investigating why something failed. On to slide 8. Okay, so I mentioned at the start there are a plethora of utilities. And what are these? They're grouped basically by the functionality of WTX. They deal with the type designer, the map designer, integration flow designer, XML utilities, the resource registry, the launcher, and map tuning. Today's conversation is going to focus on the launcher, and in particular the management console and the launcher command itself. The items denoted with a superscript 1, those were discussed in a presentation from last August, and resource registry and XML discussion was actually took place yesterday, and you can find these presentations both from August and yesterday on the WSTE website. And there will be a link to that at the end of this discussion. So let's move on to slide 9. So the launcher utility commands, there's 3 of those. Launcher admin, which was discussed yesterday. And then today we're going to go over the management console command as well as the launcher command. The management console and launcher admin were functionality added with 8.4. The command line version of these scripts did not exist prior to 8.4. And with 8.4, new functionality was added with the launcher command. And we'll be going over the new functionality of the launcher that was added with 8.4 within this presentation. So if we can move on to slide 10. Let's start with the management console. So right now, the management console, whether it's the GUI or the command line, it's used to list, add, edit, and delete launcher definitions along with firewall settings and override configurations for your launcher environment. And each launcher definition establishes a connection to one particular launcher service. So how are you going to run these commands? In the Windows environment, it's going to be mgmtconsole.bat with the associated options. And in the Unix world, it's going to be mgmtconsole.sh with its option. One thing to note, if you do not specify options, it is going to call up the GUI version of the product that everyone is accustomed to. With options, you'll be able to use the command line. So, what does this utility do? In the long run, it's going to read and or update a file called managementconsole.bin that is within your WTX installation. Please do not edit this command by hand. That's what the utility does for you, whether it be the command line utility or the GUI-based version. So let's move on to slide 11. This page here, it specifies the general syntax of the command. I put it here for informational purposes. And I'll be going into more depth on the following slides as to how to use these options. So if we move on to slide 12. So the management console, what are the options that are available to you? And again, they all either read or update the managementconsole.bin file. The options include listing, which allows you to display your existing launcher definitions. You can add to either add or update an existing launcher or create a new one. You can use delete to delete launcher definitions. The override option, which is for the ZOS-only platforms, so you use this in a USS environment. There's firewall settings for the management console. You can import a XML file to configure the management console, as well as the ability to export it. And we'll go into details on each of these sub-options within the management console command on the following slides. So if we move to slide 13. Okay, let's start with the management console list option. And as I discuss these options, I'm going to be dealing with just the sub-options, so always think in your mind that when I say a sub-option, it's mgmtconsole.bat or .sh, followed by the option I'll be discussing. So with the dash list option, that's going to display options that are currently configured into the management console bin file. It's just a read-only option. And the syntax is dash list, and you can tell it to list the launchers, you can tell it to list options, or you can tell it to list everything. If you tell it to list the launchers, it's going to display the launcher information that is currently configured in the Management Console bin file. Or if you tell it the options option, it's going to give you the override configuration in firewall settings that you have currently configured. If you do dash list space all, it's going to display both list and options. And if you do not specify a sub-option at all, dash list with nothing is the equivalent of doing dash list space all. On to slide 14. So, if you say dash list dash launchers, what's it going to display to you? And it's the equivalent of going into the Management Console GUI and specifying launcher edit. It's going to display the launcher name, the host name, the launcher port, refresh interval, as well as the login and password. If you did the list options, that's the equivalent of using the GUI's Management Console tools options feature. And this is going to display firewall configuration and port, the launcher name, the host name, the control and status ports, and override configuration information. And dash list space all, again, will display both list and options. On to slide 14. In this slide, I wanted to show you what the dash list launchers command does show you. On the right-hand side of the screen, I'm showing you what the equivalent GUI version does so that you can make the correlation. These types of slides are good as a reference because you can see what the GUI gives you and then what the command line version gives you so that you can match them up as you start getting accustomed to using these commands. So when you do the dash list, you can see it displays my launcher name, the host, the port, login, and password, and so on. And you can see the corresponding names match in the GUI version. So if we move on to slide 16. Again, in this case, I'm doing a list with the options command. Right-hand side shows you the GUI version that shows the overrides and firewall settings from the GUI. So you can see we're looking at MyAX server, and we have a client port of 47s. When you do the command line version of it, you see that same exact information displayed. You see the port number, firewall port 777. You see MyAX server. You see the override configuration is disabled. And if you look on the right-hand side, you see the override configuration box is not checked. So this is kind of like a sanity check to show you that, yes, the information in there is accurate. Slide 17. So I've shown you how to list what you have in there. So that's good, but now you want to make some changes. So you want to start adding to the Management Console. So you've got add, let you either add or update existing configurations. So if it already exists, dash add will update it. If it doesn't exist, dash add will add a brand new. And again, that's the equivalent from the GUI of going into the Management Console, selecting launcher, new, edit options from the console. The add syntax is you're going to dash add option, going to specify, a lot of these are keywords, the left of the colon is going to be a keyword, so the keyword name, then you specify your launcher name. Semicolon, keyword host name you want to give it. Login name, password, and port information. One thing to note is in Unix environments, because semicolons are involved, please make sure that all of these syntax options are enclosed in double quotes. So it would be dash add, double quote, followed by the options, and then finishing it with a double quote as well. Otherwise, the Unix environment is going to get confused and think this is multiple commands being issued. So, let's move on to slide 18. Continuing with the add options, again, we've got the password, port, and refresh intervals. It's just a matter of specifying the keyword, colon, and then the value you want to provide it. And again, I'm mentioning with the Unix and ZOS platforms, to please use double quotes. and I'll show you an example shortly. On to slide 19. So, in here, this example on slide 19, we're going to do a add. I want to add a launcher, and I want to specify it to be my new launcher. I want the host to be WTX server. I want my login to be WTX admin, my password to be WTX admin, and I want to specify a port of 5075. For those that are familiar with how the product works, the default port is always 5015, so this as well gives you a manner to override things. So you can see here, if I were to define this all on the command through the GUI, I've shown you the GUI entries, and you can match this up with the command line. So the name is specified again, the host, the login, the password, and the port. This is can be a good reference to see, again, how to get accustomed to using these commands. On to slide 20. So you want to delete a management console entry. Again, the syntax is fairly simple. It's management console.bat or sh minus delete, and then the name of the launcher you want to delete. So here's an example at the bottom of the screen, management console.bat-delete my new launcher. And that my new launcher just happens to be that same example from the previous slide that we added. So you can easily add and delete. And on to slide 21. You can override settings. And again, this applies only to the ZOS USS environment. So for Windows and Unix, this does not apply. Here you can override the launcher service, and it enables a direct connection to the specified launcher. It's the same option that you can access from the GUI, from the menu bar, tools, options, launcher option. And you've got a syntax where you've got to specify the name, the override configuration, whether you enable or disable it, the host, its status port, and its control port. And if we move on to slide 22. Again, continuing with the syntax, here we show the override configuration control port. Again, like Unix platforms, ZOS USS is similar to Unix to that extent, so options, again, must be specified in quotes. And if you notice in the example here, I did put the double quotes around things. So if you were attempting to use the management console override feature on ZOS, it's management console.sh, dash override, double quotes, and then the corresponding options that you want to set or override. And the screenshot at the bottom there, again, shows the same exact settings if you were to enter them in the GUI. And it's just to show you the correlation. You know, for instance, status port on the GUI equates to SP on the command line. Control port equates to CP. So, again, it's a good reference to keep as you start to learn these utility commands. On to slide 23. One last option with the firewall management console is the firewall settings. So you can enable or disable the firewall configuration, and allows you to specify a control port that is used behind the firewall. This is the same with the GUI as using the selecting the menu bar tools, options, and then firewall option. The syntax is dash firewall. You tell it whether the firewall configuration is enabled or disabled, and then you give it the firewall port. The right-hand side shows you the GUI version. So when you're using the syntax, the FC option is equivalent to the enable configuration box setting, and the client port is the same as the FP option that you set. Again, be aware of double quotes on Unix and ZOS platforms. And at the bottom, I'm showing you two examples. On Windows, it's management console.bat-firewall. What's my firewall configuration? With the FC option, I told it to enable it, and I told it to set the firewall port of 10,700. Same example on the very bottom, but this time for ZOS and Unix. It's managementconsole.sh, and if you notice, I have included the double quotes around the argument. And again, the double quotes is needed because of that semicolon that's within the structure of the syntax. Let's move on to slide 24. The management console also has an import and export feature. This can come in particularly handy because, for instance, if you did not want to issue all those commands by hand and wanted to modify things whole scale, you can export the contents of the managementconsole.bin file, use a text editor to edit the file that gets exported, not the management console bin file, but the file you actually export, make your changes, save those changes, and then re-import it back, and then you'll have new content in your management console file. So, with the dash import option, you specify the file name you want to import. The dash export option, you specify the file you want to export the contents to. Examples at the bottom of the file. When using this command, you're typically going to export it first. And I just showed an example here. I exported my management console bin file to one that I decided to name my_mgmt_configuration.xml. I could have then made changes to that .xml file and then use the managementconsole.bat-import command to re-import that one, and then I'll have a new management console configuration back in place. So let's move on to slide 25. So we've gone over the management console command, and let's move on to new launcher commands. The new launcher commands that were added with 8.4 allow you to set trace and logging options as well as list overall system information. The previous releases of WTX allowed you to stop and start system, but now we've added the feature to set some logging and trace options as well. These logging and trace options that we've added through this command are still available through the GUIs, but in the GUI, it's available dynamically in the management console or manually by restarting the launcher in the btx.ini configuration file. So how do we use these new commands? In the Windows world, it's going to be launcher.bat with the options. In Unix and USS, it's launcher.sh with its corresponding option. When you use these command line utilities, they do not modify the INI file, so you do not have to worry about impacting the integrity of that file. They are only useful when the launcher is up and running. If the launcher is not running, you're going to get an error. So what are the primary options that were added? There's the dash list option. It's going to list system files, components within each system, the trace settings for each component in a system, and the log settings that exist. There's the dash set trace feature, and that's going to allow you to enable or disable trace flags for a component that is running. And then there's dash set logging, and that's going to also allow you to enable or disable launcher, connection manager, and resource manager logging. If you're familiar with the INI file, there's logging options in there that this is the equivalent of. And I'll go into some more detail shortly. Let's move on to slide 26. On this slide, I'm just at a high level presenting the overall syntax for this command for these new features. Again, it's for reference purposes so that you can have everything in one place instead of going hunting through the documentation. This may make it a little bit easier. Note at the bottom, set trace and set logging and dash list are mutually exclusive. You cannot specify more than one of these options at any one point in time from when executing these as a utility command on the command line. Move on to slide 27. So let's start with the dash list command option that's within the launcher. So the syntax is going to be launcher.bat or sh space minus list. The launcher name is required. Then you've got your system name, then any corresponding system file or component names that go with this, and then with trace options or logging options to be displayed. Remember, we're not setting, we're just listing. So it's like a status information. So what is the launcher name? The launcher name is the name of the launcher that is defined in the management console utility. The system name is the name of the system or group of systems that is running under one particular launcher process. That's it. That system name is defined within the launcher administration utility. The system file name, that's the name of the individual system or the MSL that is running under the specified system launcher. And you've also got a component name you can specify. That's the name of an individual map component within that system file that is running. Dash trace lists the trace settings, and dash logging lists the dash logging option. And as I mentioned earlier, dash trace and dash logging are those that are can be displayed within the management console as well. Let's move on to slide 28. Here I want to provide an example of what the launcher dash list command does provide you. So if you were to type in a Windows environment, launcher.bat dash list, my 8.4 launcher with the dash logging option, here's what it's going to display. This is, again, assuming you have a launcher defined to be my 8.4 launcher. You see it displays the version information. It tells me what my MSL is associated with this launcher, and it tells me what my logging flags are. In this case, you can see trace debug and info are off, warn, error, and fatal are on. And then the output from this command continues on to slide 29. Shows the resource manager settings, connections manager settings, and the overall system MSLs that are involved. So you can see I have one defined as my 8.4 test MSL, and then it has a component of my 8.4 system. On to slide 30. So we covered the dash list option. Let's move on to the dash set trace. Now again, they're mutually exclusive, so dash list, it cannot be used while at the same time as set trace and vice versa. So the syntax of set trace is launcher.bata or -sh dash set trace, specify the launcher, the system name, the system file name, and the component name that you're going to want to trace. So once you specify those, then you're going to tell it the dash trace option and what you want to do. You can default it, you can set it to on or off, and then you've got to give it a particular action. The action is either create to a new trace file or append to the trace file, and then you specify the actual trace file keyword with the trace file name. Again, you've got I explained that towards the bottom, in the middle and the bottom of the screen, what these keywords are. The launcher name is the launcher that's defined, what your system name is, what your system file name is, and what your component name is. Most people should be familiar with these terminologies, but again, in a moment I'll show you an example of all of this and how it gets put together. Go on to slide 31. Continuing with the overall options, and when I said earlier with dash trace, one of the options is default, and that would use the settings that are configured on the adapter command line in the map. That's what default means. So you turn tracing on, it turns that particular trace on for all adapters, including those that are involved with run maps. Dash trace with off turns all the tracing off, even if it is set within a particular map. Dash action with create creates a new trace file. Dash action with append will append to an existing trace file. And then dash trace file, specify the name, full path name with the trace file name that you want to use. On to slide 32. Okay, so here's an example. And what I am attempting to do here is I want to enable adaptive tracing for a launcher that I've called my 8.4 launcher. is defined in the management console that has a system name of the defaulted one of Compound System, where the MSL I'm using is launcher.msl. And then I want to create a trace file, name and save it to my /temp/launcher-adapter-trace.txt. So how do I do that from the command line? Launcher.bat, I'm telling it the -set trace option. I specify my launcher name. I specify my system name, which I'm defaulting to Compound System. Then I'm giving the particular component name of the launcher.msl. And then I'm telling the launcher to turn trace on. I'm telling it the particular trace file name. And that's how you would enable tracing. You can do the same thing with the management console. On the right-hand side of the management console, you have your enabling options for the trace capability within the launcher. Slide 33. And then the last option, well, this is the set logging. This is, a lot of times we'll use this, support will request this when we're trying to help you analyze what's going on with the system. And the syntax for this is launcher.bat or sh with -set logging. Again, you're going to need to specify the launcher name and corresponding system name. Then you're going to need to tell it what type of logging you can do. It's got to be one of the following. It can be launcher, the resource manager, or the configuration manager. And then you've got to tell it, for that type of logging, which log options do you want to use? We've got those are specified by the T options, the D options, W, F, I, and E options. And again, I'll go into more detail in just a few minutes as I show you an example. So, again, launcher name, you name your launcher, system name that's defined within the launcher admin tool, -log type, launcher logging, RES manager is resource manager, and CON manager, connection manager logging. On to slide 34. So what are these actual log options mean? The T options, in all these options, O means do enable it. X means do not enable it. So the T options are with trace. D is for debugging. F is for fatal errors. E is for error messages. I is informational messages. And W is for warnings. So let's say I want to enable tracing option, debug, fatal, info, and error logging, but I want to disable warning messages from the information that gets logged to the Compound System log. That's where this information will be generated to, the Compound System log, which is underneath the log subdirectory of your WTX installation. If I want to enable it in the Windows world, I'll type launcher.bat with the -set logging option. I'm specifying that I want to set the logging for the launcher that's defined as my launcher, for the particular component that's called my 8.4 system, and then I'm going to specify the log types I want to do. In this case, I want to just do launcher logging, not resource manager, not connections manager. And the log options, like I said earlier, I want to do trace, debug, fatal, info, and error. So if you notice, the T, D, F, I, and E options have an O next to them. I don't want warnings, so the W option has an X next to it. On to slide 35. That's pretty much the presentation. I got just a few more things. The key thing that I find helpful with this presentation is because our documentation in general is not necessarily concise in one point place, refer back to these slides. Look at what the GUI version that I gave you some screenshots with, what those look like, and then look at what the command lines and the options look like so that you can start getting accustomed to the syntax and what they really refer to, because not all the command line options match up verbally one for one, and you just got to get used to what the new settings are. So when you're just in general, when you're using our product, I'm just trying here to point you to where our support site is. You can search APARs and TechNotes and get documentation from our information center. On to slide 36. If you do encounter an issue and you need our assistance, the first bullet here is how to submit problems online, so please use that PropSub.html if you can. And when we get information or PMRs from you, a lot of times there's going to be some basic information we're going to request from you. So it would be helpful to read that must-gather as well, because depending on the scenario you're encountering, the must-gather will tell you what information we would typically like to capture from you, and providing that information up front helps the overall process move faster and bring your problem to a quicker resolution. On to slide 37. So in summary, please review the online web-based documentation we have for our utility commands and the usage and examples, as well as this presentation. I had mentioned there were two other related presentations for the utility commands. This is part three. Part one and part two can be found on the WSTE site. And for additional support information, again, I've provided another link to our support page. And if we move on to slide 38, this is just additional WebSphere product reference material. And on to slide 39.
Thank you, Tim, for a great presentation. At this time, we would like to open the lines for questions.
If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. Be sure your phone is not muted and record your name clearly when prompted. To withdraw your question, you may press star 2. Once again, to ask a question, press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. At this time, there are no questions on the phone.
Thank you. At this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation, and we hope you'll join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today. Thank you, Tim, for presenting today.
You're welcome.
This does conclude today's conference call. You may disconnect your phones at this time.